Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
You know, every single week when I come on and I hear that introduction, I feel a little uncomfortable because I'm hardly the world's pet expert. But I'm telling you, I'm the world's proudest right now because it turns out a fan of this radio show, and it's not only me, he's a fan of the radio station, is legendary hockey broadcaster Doc Emmerich. And for the third or fourth, I don't know how many times he's done this, but he is stepping up. He doesn't live in Chicago, but he's stepping up for Chicago's homeless pets. I will tell you how he's helping out Chicago Canine Rescue in a couple of minutes. We'll also, yes, hear about World Elephant Day and an event called Bowling with Rhinos. Well, that's not quite right. I think it's bowling for rhinos. It would be cool, though, if it were bowling with rhinos, I think. Kelly Gandersky is here. Kelly is the new executive director at Chicago Animal Care and Control. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Well, it's nice to meet you, sort of, kind of, by phone.
So to speak, yes.
Yeah. And thank you for getting up early for us. So I received a press release yesterday, and this sounds to me like a hoarder, really. But regardless, this person had 48 small dogs and puppies from some Southside home, and you helped to rescue those animals. But the great news is they didn't go directly into the shelter. Chicago Animal Care and Control, that's the city's municipal facility. So tell me the story about what happened here.
Well, Friday night, I received information from my team that we had received a call about an overwhelmed citizen on the south side. My inspector went to check on the residents and contacted me and said, you know, there's a lot of dogs in the residence. And I said, how many dogs? And my inspector said, well, I don't know exactly. I didn't get in, but, you know, somewhere between 45 and 55 dogs. And I said, oh, no. So we quickly mobilized. We did an interdepartmental mobilization, Department of Buildings, Chicago Fire Department, Department of Family and Support Services, all mobilized yesterday morning to go to the residents to offer some services and just to kind of see what was going on. And what we found out, there were actually 51 small dogs inside of the property and about 4 cats. This resident, just very nice. All the animals were in really good shape. Just completely overwhelmed, as you can imagine. That's just too many animals in anyone's residence.
Yes, and it's not fair. It's not fair to the animals. So, well, they were you suggest in good physical shape. I don't know what their mental health could have been, unless she lives in a mansion and there was tons of space for all of those animals. But the good news is the next part of the story. Well, you've mentioned good news. So first, she admitted she needed help. That's a great thing. And secondly, they were apparently in good physical condition. But the good news here continues.
Yeah, I was really proud of everybody's work yesterday. First of all, I'm proud that we were able to get the citizen services that she needed, and so she'll be taken care of on a personal level, so that's important. And, you know, important as well is all of our rescue groups stepped forward to really help us out and make sure that all the animals will be going into either foster care or permanent homes in the really short interim. So we did, I just want to state, we did have to check all of the dogs in Animal Care and Control and vaccinate them, of course, and, you know, just give them a quick look. But as we were checking them in, the rescues were standing there to check them right out, to transfer out. So that was just amazing and wonderful.
And that's important for a variety of reasons, correct?
Oh, yes. I mean, we, you know, to take on 50 dogs, you know, well, we took 48. We did leave the citizen with 3 dogs, I think, her originals. But we will be providing services to that resident to vet and care for those animals as well and offer assistance. But the important part is, you know, dogs don't belong in a shelter. They belong in homes. And so it was really important to us that these animals, while it was a really tough day for them and having to be transported, didn't have to stay in our shelter very long at all.
And I want to mention the facilities, and if I miss any, chime in, because I think they merit credit. These rescue partners, of which Chicago Animal Care and Control has a lot now, which is what really saves those animals, and it's the reason why, greatly, over 90% of cats and dogs make it out alive from animal control. One tail at a time, alive. Chicago Canine Rescue, which we'll talk about in a moment. Fetching Tails Foundation, One More Dog Rescue Community Animal Rescue Effort, and Paws Chicago. Have I got them?
I believe that was all of them, yeah. And I mean, it's just amazing. We had some volunteers come and help as well. And so, again, we just need everybody's help. Our rescue partners are amazing. We have over 200 Homer-bound rescue partners, and that's the best way. It's the fastest way, actually, animals make it out of the shelter along with adoptions.
Now, I want to talk about a couple of things that came out in an event I was at last night.
Sure.
First of all, I think that I know that a lot of people, despite the fact that I've had the person who's had your job on the radio for, I've been on the radio here for 22 years, I believe it is. And even preceding that, I'm well aware of the fact that still, Chicagoans may not know what Chicago Animal Care and Control is. And secondly, somehow, some way, assume that any animal shelter anywhere, particularly a municipal facility, which is what you are inherently really awful, sad places to go. And while that is not the ideal place for an animal, I would argue it is not really a sad place to go. So I'd love for you to comment on that and also explain what Chicago Animal Care and Control is.
Sure. Well, we are a municipal shelter, as you've stated, and sorry, you can hear Rosie, my foster dog, drinking her water in the background there.
That's okay.
So we are a municipal funded shelter, and we, you know, see, we don't have a choice of what we take in. We take in all animals, every walk of life. So, you know, people think it's an inherently sad place, but what I would argue is our staff and our volunteers that do so much and care so much for the animals really make it as good of a place as it could possibly be for the animals. I mean, we really stress cleaning and making sure that the animals are comfortable. And for some of these animals, if they're, you know, if it's an abuse or neglect case, for some of these animals, unfortunately, the shelter might be the best place they've ever been. At least they're getting fed and sheltered properly and cared for properly. So yeah. Animal Care and Control really has two missions. One is we provide a public service, protecting the public health and safety, ensuring that the public is safe, you know, from dangerous animals, or assisting, like we did yesterday, citizens in need that need help with their animals, and just making sure that, you know, Chicago keeps a really humane city. We want to make sure the animals are kept humanely. We also take in animals. So it's really twofold, protecting the public health and safety and providing the humane treatment of animals.
And where are you at?
We are at 2741 Southwestern Avenue in Chicago.
And do you ever have animals that are available for adoption, ever?
Oh, yes, we do. We have many dogs and cats right now that are looking for a wonderful home. And in fact, we have a Clear the Shelters event August 18th where you can come find your best friend and adoption fees are waived.
Okay. And I thank you very much for the work that not only that you do, but for your staff and all the volunteers at Chicago Animal Care and Control. Kelly, we'll have you down here sometime. I'll drag you out of bed or something, and we'll get you up early. And we'll have you on the radio, and we'll do one of the adoption events with Steve Cochran. And I'll talk about one of those events in next, actually, right here on WGN Radio. Thank you again, Kelly.
Wonderful. Thank you.
It is, in fact, 6:46 on WGN. Good morning. Doc Emmerich, the legendary hockey broadcaster, is quite amazing. We'll hear about what he did in a moment. And also World Elephant Day and how you can bowl with rhinos? Pets aren't like family, they are family. That's why doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always there when you and your pets need them most. They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne. MedVet provides emergency specialty and critical care 24/7 every day of the year. That's the whole point. They're always, and I do mean always, there when you need them. We'll talk to Alicia Durst of the Lincoln Park Zoo. I think the zoo is open every day, not 24/7, friends, but they're open every day. Well, MedVet Chicago is open not only every day, but 24/7. They're accredited by the American Animal Hospital Association. You know, your pets receive the best, most comprehensive, compassionate care ever, and also, if needed, by specialists, boarded specialists. To learn more, visit medvetforpets.com, medvetforpets.com, or call MedVet Chicago at 773 773- 281-7110, 773-281-7110. Well, we had a dog, and I do this once a month, and I'm sort of disappointed. I mean, it was tough. Jade, the miniature pincher, 10 years old, and it's difficult to adopt out an older dog. Having said that, we've adopted out. I mean, they've thrown everything at me. When I started doing this on the radio, adopting dogs, you know, little dogs and very adoptable dogs, sweet dogs, wonderful dogs. Then they got bigger, harder to adopt, no matter how sweet they are, larger dogs. Then I got a three-legged dog or two and older dogs. And this is 10 years old. But for a mini pin, that's hardly elderly because they're so long-lived. And Jade is in really good health. And last I heard, Jade was not yet adopted. So check Jade out on my website, and that's stevedale.tv. Well, Doc Emmerich hears the segment and knows that I'm going to do the segment. And he said, Steve, here's some money. I presented that check of $1,200 to Chicago Canine Rescue, which is good for adopting out four dogs. Four dogs named Caner, Taser. We were talking about Stan Mikita earlier. One of the dogs named Stash, to honor Stan Mikita, who incidentally was a dog lover, that much I know, and a dog we had to do it by the name of Doc. So those four dogs, you'll see pictures soon on my website, which is stevedale.tv. And I hope that you spread the word about this one dog named Jade. In a sense, I'm told the shelter workers don't want to give up Jade because he's such a wonderful dog, but of course he is better in a home. We want you to turn down your radio, Alicia Durst. You are now on WGN Radio. Alicia is a keeper with the Lincoln Park Zoo. And tell me about how people can bowl with rhinos.
All right. Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Have I got that wrong?
It is, yes. You won't be bowling with the rhinos, actually.
Oh.
That would not be safe.
Oh.
but what we're doing is we're bowling for rhinos.
Aha.
So, I am the president of the local chapter of the American Association of Zookeepers here in Chicago. So every year we host a fundraiser called Bowling for Rhinos. It's actually a national fundraiser that was started in 1990 when a group of zookeepers realized that they are very conservation-oriented and really wanted to do something to help rhinos in the wild, but they didn't really have the financial backing to do so. So this fundraiser was started. And since 1990, we've raised over $7 million for
what?
Rhino conservation.
Seven what?
$7 million. It's pretty amazing.
That is amazing.
So 100% of the funds that we raise go to three organizations in Africa and Indonesia for rhino conservation. And so, yeah, it's a really great cause. Ours is happening on August 21st this year at Diversey River Bowl. It's our fifth or sixth year hosting it there. So it's a really fun bowling alley. So, yeah, we'll have lots of raffle prizes. We'll have pizza. We'll have silent auctions and bowling. And 100% of the proceeds, like I said, will go to rhino conservation.
Why do rhinos need the help so badly? And incidentally, they really, really do. It's kind of scary. In fact, so scary that rhinos at some zoos around the world need protection. That's how.
Yeah.
It's a sad story.
Yeah, it is really sad. Over the last few years, it's just gotten worse and worse. Rhino poaching has increased so drastically over the last 10 or so years. There's only about 30,000 rhinos left in the wild, over five species in Africa and Asia, so that's really not very many. About 95% of the population has been lost in the last 4 years.
That's amazing.
So, yeah,
you know. And I've had the privilege of being to Africa and some places where rhinos were once plentiful or at least existed.
Mm-hmm.
Now they literally do not exist or you cannot find them. I know that to be true. And one of the species, for example, the Sumatran rhino, their numbers, I believe, are so low that you're concerned about genetically whether they have a viable number of rhinos to continue the species.
Exactly. Yeah, there's actually two species, the Sumatran and the Javan rhinos, both.
Yeah.
There's only about 200 Sumatran rhinos left and only about 60 Javan rhinos left. So both of those, they live in a very small populations. There's only one population of the Javan rhinos in one national park in Indonesia. So, yeah, their genetics are very compromised, and the same with the Sumatrans. They're so fragmented. There's very tiny populations kind of all over the island of Sumatra. So they're just, it's really hard to get that genetic diversity that you need for the population to succeed. So yeah, it's really looking rather bleak for them. But I mean, the American Association of Zookeepers is doing everything we can to raise money for them, and the money that we raise goes into creating protected habitats for them, paying, you know, anti-poaching units to patrol the areas. It even pays to translocate rhinos into other national parks to kind of spread them out. So yeah, there's a lot of places that the money goes.
All right. So once again, the benefit is when?
It is Tuesday, August 21st.
And it is at?
At Diversity River Bowl.
Which is at Logan and Diversity?
Yes, it's 2211 West Diversity Parkway. So yeah, it's around Logan and Diversity.
All right.
We'll be there all night, and we hope some of you guys can stop by to help us raise money. By saving rhinos, you're not only saving the rhinos, you're actually saving entire habitats. They're what's known as a keystone species or an umbrella species, so that means that they are such large animals, and they live in such large, diverse habitats, you know, from the savannas to the jungle, rainforests, and by raising this money for them, we're actually saving that entire habitat. So you're saving every species of plant and animal that shares that habitat with
rhinos. Conceivably, that is true, and that would include one of the other most endangered species on the planet when we're talking about the Javan and Sumatran rhino, which would be the orangutan. Yeah, you're absolutely right about that, of course. It all starts at 5:30. Most importantly, there is pizza. And how much is the cost for this?
If you want a bowl, it's $25, so that gets you 3 hours of bowling and pizza and soda. If you don't want a bowl, it's just $15 to come and hang out and eat some pizza. And then, like I said, we'll have raffles and silent auctions all night long.
Now, today is World Elephant Day, and here again, and we're running out of time, so we can't tell the entire story. I'd like to, because elephants are disappearing also.
Yeah.
So, you know, I asked Dave Schwani earlier if he could do his impression of an elephant, but it really is a serious issue because they are going away very quickly. And you talk about species that impact the entire environment. We don't even know what life would be like on Earth without elephants. It sounds like a crazy exaggeration. I don't believe it is.
No, I mean, you don't think of elephants as being a pollinator per se, like a butterfly or a moth or a bat like that, but actually they do. They help the environment, you know. They eat so much vegetation, and then they walk miles and miles, so, you know, they're spreading the seeds of these plants, so they actually, you know, they greatly impact their environment.
Yeah, that's true. Alicia Durst, thank you so much, and, you know, love the Lincoln Park and Brookfield zoos, and you keepers do the hands-on difficult work. And you do, really. And I don't know if people understand all the work that you do and all that goes into it, and it's appreciated. Thank you so very much, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Alicia Durst from the Lincoln Park Zoo, and I have a new listener story from the folks at Fresh Wave. Quickly, in case you haven't been listening all these years, they're the ones making safe, natural, effective odor removers using plant oils and water. No harsh chemicals, no masking fragrances. Heidi wrote in that she loves that she doesn't have to worry about chemicals in the air when she uses Freshwave products. Other fresheners have things that could harm her pet parrots, but not Freshwave. It's true. Heidi also has a dog and recently placed a fresh pod on the outside of her dog's man cave, so she can't smell him in between baths anymore. Heidi, gonna be a lot of jealous fellows out there who don't have a man cave of their own, and your dog has one. The things we do for our pets. Head to your nearest Target store to get your Freshwave fix, including the new bag on valve sprayer. No pump heads or triggers, no aerosol, no harmful propellants, and it sprays upside down. Go to freshwaveworks.com/BOV to learn more. Freshwave.com/BOV.